This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Kusu Chuang. It's 7:06 a.m. on Friday, the 20th of May. As we always do, let's recap how global markets closed yesterday.
Yep, all the three major indexes again ended in the red. The S&P, Dow and NASDAQ all dropped, but less than 1%. But more intriguingly, the S&P is down 18.2% year-to-date. The Dow is down by 14% year-to-date. And the big decline of the NASDAQ, the growth stock, the tech stock bubble has been, I guess, pricked in many ways, down by 27% year-to-date. So that's interesting. Of course, the region has also been down. We saw preceding the US markets, the Nikkei, the Hang Seng, the Shanghai, the STI and the FBM KLCI, all dropping between 0.5 percentage point to 2.5 percentage points.
So for some thoughts on what's moving markets, we have on the line with us Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited in Chicago. Tim, good morning. Thanks as always for joining us. Now, U.S. stocks continued their downward trend today, although not as severe as the plunges on Wednesday, which saw $1.5 trillion wiped out of the S&P 500 in a day. Do you see a bottom on this? Is it still going to fall further?
Well, you know, some people are pointing to this 3850 low as a double bottom, which is, I believe, 20% off the top. So there, I guess if one wanted to pick a bottom, that's a level to lean on. I don't trust this market and think it's got a little more to go here. I just haven't really seen signs of, to call bottom. But I would say that you have this analog that's, I think, pretty close to what we saw in 2000. And that, you know, the start of that bear market and the pricking of the tech bubble back then. So I'm looking actually for a near-term bottom to form and for us to rally a little bit. But, you know, we keep getting, now we're going to start looking at downgrading these earnings and margins ahead. And that hasn't been factored in yet. I think the market's been very nonchalant about that. At least analysts have. The same guys that downgrade stocks after they've fallen 75%, you know.
Yeah, Tim, I want to point out the fact that the latest Bank of America fund manager survey has said that hawkish central banks is the biggest one, biggest factor behind the possibility of a global recession, right? And that risk has actually increased in recent times. What's your sense of whether or not a recession is in the cards or is in the cards for the U.S. economy and how soon?
You know, I tell you, I think some people put 30%. I get a little bit concerned about that when I look at what's going on, inflation, and I think what's happening, I think, with spending patterns and how that can turn and how it's hurting certain companies. But more to the point, Europe is, you know, going to be in a recession. And I think China is, you know, with their zero COVID policy looks bad. So I think the risks are pretty high for a recession that I previously didn't really think we're this high, but I think it's really on the table right now. And that to me is a factor here that I think is going to play, you know, if the Fed's going to use interest rates to do this, I think there's no doubt they'll cause a recession. You know, if they can use a little more balance sheet reduction, I think they have a shot to maybe avoid it, but there's no question you're going to see you're seeing an economic impact here. Stagflation at best.
That's interesting. I see reports that Goldman's is actually quietly handing out a recession manual to clients. Even the Wells Fargo chief executive, Charles Scharf, is saying that there will be a recession. But they're both, in terms of just managing expectations, sending calming messages to the market. I mean, Charles Scharf is saying that the recession will happen, but it's going to be shallower than expected. What is your sense of what kind of shape and form this recession will take?
Well, people point to the consumer balance sheets on the one hand, but on the other hand, you're seeing more credit being used as well. I think that you have a lot of leverage in the system. So that is that's a point. But, you know, again, these are very tough to predict. I think it's going to be pretty hard to not have some kind of pushback, given the fact that there's no room for fiscal stimulus here and there's no more Fed put anymore. But, you know, here's the issue. The market's been tightening because of, I call, central bank open mouth policy, mainly by the Federal Reserve. They've only raised rates 75 basis points, and they haven't even started paring back their balance sheet, which to me is just the epitome of irresponsibility, because they were buying mortgage backs all throughout last year through the housing firming. And even up till March, they were buying assets. So they haven't even started yet. And that's what kind of worries me, because when they do start, and that's when I think, you know, there's that they can break something, I think, as Jim Bianco's so eloquently says, you know, the Fed can break something here, and that's a big risk. So I think the risk of a recession is much higher than, like I said, I previously thought, and I think more than the market's thinking.
So, Tim, in that case, how would you advise investors to allocate their assets amid this uncertain environment? I mean, should we be holding more cash at this point?
Oh, I think for sure. Cash is a strategic allocation. You know, cash is an asset class. People laughed at this before, you know, as well, who wants to hold cash is trash. However, if you have cash, you can scatter through debris and you can buy something when it breaks. If you don't have cash, you're not in a position to do that. So I think it's very prudent. I think asset classes are so correlated right now, you know, unless you're with, say, a commodity trading advisor or a CTA or some kind of macro fund, which, you know, a good manager, I think it's going to be very difficult to find something. Now, having said that, I do like gold. I still like commodities, you know, barring if we do have a recession, then that will kind of – that's one way to get energy prices down, you know, and I think commodity prices down. So I got a watchful eye on that. But other than that, I think gold is to me, very attractive. And I don't think there's very, very many places to hide here. So cash is not a bad alternative.
Yeah, long cash, long treasuries, long dollar are preferred trades. Oh. In fact, crowded trades at this point in time. Tim, how are you positioning your allocations?
Well, I should say this, T-bill ladders. So, I mean, CD ladders is what people do. But T-bill ladders, meaning you can go out to 1 year and, you know, buy, you know, 3 months, 6 months, 1 year. You can even go out to 2 years, some people would. And then as they mature, you buy the higher, you know, the latest or the oldest maturity. And it's a ladder. I think that's one way to put some cash to work. You know, maybe you're only going to get 1.82%, but, you know, I guess it's better than nothing and certainly better than losing money. So I think that I'm still involved with, you know, some energy stocks. I still have some financials. So I pared back the financials a little bit. But what I do is a little different because I'll collar these trades. So I have a good profit and say energy prices, I'll sell calls by, you know, different type of strategies. But it does require, I think, a little bit of sophistication, I think, to manage this market. That's where I think most people are going to have a little bit of trouble here. Oh, and also the other thing, I think China is just as cheap right now as the U.S. was expensive. So I think that and I think in your end of the world, I think there's some places that are very interesting. And I think those are areas that I would look at least, I think, for allocation.
And speaking of energy, Tim, Brent price has been up more than 40% this year, but the lockdowns in China is causing demand slump close to 7% and in China itself. And I suppose that's also keeping a cap on prices at the moment. How do you see Brent crude oil prices moving in the near and medium term?
You know, that's an interesting point because that's probably why the fact that West Texas traded above Brent on the spot basis, that's very unusual for that to happen. And that has happened. I think China's lockdown, though, is going to eventually, hopefully, be removed. And then that will bring demand up. But when you look at energy prices, especially WTI, it actually performed quite well given all this recessionary talk. And a lot of that has to do with the supply problem and the fact that given the current demand that we have right now, and especially for refined products, my goodness, you have a supply demand imbalance still, even despite China's demand removal because of their lockdown.
Mm-hmm. Tim, thank you as always for the chat. That was Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited in Chicago, weighing in on some of the trends that he sees impacting markets moving forward, telling us that holding cash right now is not a bad idea, gives you more flexibility, especially in this uncertain climate. All right, it's coming up to 7:15 in the morning. We're heading into some messages. When we come back, we'll be discussing food prices in Malaysia and what to do about rising costs. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.